father than some of those who are done in Christ's church.
Truly, it is
those who are monastic.
How do you know those
who are monastic? How
do you know those who are monastic?
Today's gospel, which is quite lengthy, really has, I think, a single message. And it begins with a blind man. And some in the Holy Tradition say that blind men actually didn't have eyes. And which is why the Savior created the clay when he wiped his eyes and placed substance there which would be transformed into eyes. And it says, and his disciples after saying, "Master, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am the world, I am the light of the world." And when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay and spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." So he went, and he washed, and he came seeing. And after these first introductory verses, we have all kinds of questions that are asked and protests about whether or not the Savior was in fact the Savior, or that he was just, or that he was pure, and also the whole question about how this blind man, received his sight. And I think the whole question of sight is very, very important today. And I think it's a question of, on the one hand, it seems as though most of us are blessed to be able to see with our eyes the natural reality around us. We can see one another's faces, and we see the beauty of God's creation. And that's one type of sight. But there's another kind of sight, which is a spiritual sight. And it seems to me that we are immersed in spiritual blindness. So on the one hand, with our physical eyes, we can see the physical world. But on the other hand, with our spiritual eyes, the eyes of our heart and our mind, we are unable to see the truth of the reality we now live in. And when we look at the circumstances around us, this week, for example, we had yet another crisis with the school. Well, I guess 23 people died, I think it was the total. And I think there's been sort of about 19 of these kinds of attacks in schools this year. Maybe it's more than that. But at any rate, we have this remarkable phenomenon of attacks. And the question is why? What is the cause of this? What's at the root of this? And obviously, people of the world look for worldly causes. And perhaps there's too many guns in society, or who knows what other type of cause one might come up with. But the reality is, we have to look within, into the interior life of our society and even of our own selves. And obviously, if we look at the interior life of our society, we not only have terrible attacks on schools, but we have continuous murders and attacks on people that are just totally unprovoked. It looks as though someone's walking along, all of a sudden he has an idea, and he decides to punch someone, or to beat him with a club, or to stab them, and then goes on walking. And you think to yourself, so where is this coming from? And what it is coming from the interior life of our godless society. And that's really what it comes down to. The bottom line is that there is a great apostasy in our society, a turning away from God. So this is almost Yes, we know there are many who have not turned away from God, but in general, in the masses, there's this turning away from God and the allowing of the energies and the powers of darkness to enter into the light of our own lives or the lives of our communities and of our society as a whole. And this is the problem. So all of the various things that people propose to solve the problem of all these attacks and abuse and violence, if they don't address the condition of the collective soul, as it were, of our society, they will not in any way be sure what's happening, and in fact, it will continue to increase. And it seems to me that it's a blindness, complete blindness to the reality, and the evidence doesn't cause people, at least on a large scale, to reflect on what is the source of all of this. Once again, the source is the turning away from God, the apostasy that exists in our country. And it's fascinating. I look back on my own life as a child, and I do a lot of here and there as we get older, we do a little bit of this reflecting. And I remember days of, well, first of all, living on a farm where there really were very few people. And then moving into the town of Lebanon, New Hampshire, where we were in a neighborhood. And the neighborhood was an integrity to it. I mean, kids of all ages, from high school down to little kids, would go out on hot summer nights and play something called kick the can or hide and seek and other types of games. And there was a sense of that something was going to go wrong. On the other hand, we had discerning parents who from time to time noted that there were some children or kids or young adults in the neighborhood that had habits and acted in ways that were in conflict with the values of the family. And we as children were instructed, don't hang around with these people. They will lead to difficulties. What's so fascinating is how many years it's 65 or so for me at least. And what has happened is actually through the media, beginning with television, of course, people have turned over to the media the lives, the social lives, and the interactions of their children. And the media started out, I remember watching Robin Hood. And, you know, it was like Robin Hood, and I kind of identified with him and so on. And it had its negatives in it, but it was something that we watched. I remember watching Big Top, which, you know, that was pretty innocent. It was a circus. It was on Sunday nights. And it seemed as though everything was sort of normal, but more and more the parents gave over the parenting of their children to the first the television, and then there were other things that came along, and movies began to develop, and then of course you come to the points where we have cell phones and so on. And at this point, it would appear as though parenting has been given over completely to this mass media phenomenon, which is evil, flat out evil. It's filled with pornography. It's filled with darkness. It's filled with anger. It's filled with violence and things that are so unseemly that I won't speak of them. And we know this. And what has happened is that children at a very young age are no longer sort of going into the neighborhood to play kick the can with the older kids with a sense of innocence. And really, I never remember any incidents in our neighborhood, which involved quite a few children and both of all ages, where anything unseemly happened. But now, it's all unseemly. And what has happened is the minds and the hearts of our children are being, you might say, parented by darkness. And if one wants to understand what's going on in the world, It's because of what's going on inside of people. All of these things are inside. Can you imagine a young man, a high schooler, who is so depressed and so desperate that he wants to kill himself, and in the process he wants to kill others, almost as though ending his life in this way is going to be of some benefit to him. And it happens again and again and again. And what we see are the powers of darkness entering into our society. And the solution is building institutions that are founded upon the divinely revealed truths and teachings of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. In the beginning of this building is the Holy Church. We need the Holy Church. We need the divine services. We need the disciplines of participating and as it were, you know, people love to go out on the beach, you know, in the sun and so on and so forth. We're hiking in the mountains and see the beauty and so on. But the truth of the matter is, spiritual beauty, the light of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, shines brightly within the divine services. With every word, the light of Christ shines upon us. And it's fulfilled and participating in the body and blood of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, which washes away our sins and illuminates our hearts and our minds so that we can see, and we can see in a careful and discerning way, the path that we must follow for ourselves and for our children. And this is what God is behind us. And it seems to me that the only thing that I think we can do really is be faithful in the context of the church on the one hand, and then build institutions in the context of the church and as a result of the life of the church. Build institutions for young people during the summer. Build buildings, having a school for our children, where we can actually control, as it were, in a good sense of that, control the what it is that children are exposed to, and what it is that will bring enlightenment to them, and then give them the tools to apply their insights in such a way that they can see with discernment what is right and what is wrong, what is helpful and what destroys. And this is so this, I think, in a sense, this is our call to one, gather in the Holy Church, to strengthen the church, and then to begin to build institutions. We could have a local camp, that we don't even have to go away to do this. We have so many things that so many opportunities here in our context. But to gather young people together in the context of a valley of values. We could create a work a bank where young people are, you can call in and have young people join, become part to ask for help, like a workforce of young people. There are many things that we can do. And the bottom line is that unless we do these things, we will not be able to turn any kind of thing. I turn to the society, forgive me, but I don't see it turning around, certainly in our generation. But we could bring together those of a common mind and a common heart and dedicate ourselves to creating a space where the love of God exists in its abundance and where the eyes are open to the realities of our world and discernment and discipline accompanies us so that our children are able to choose those things which are good and true and beautiful and turn away from that which is destroying the soul. It is an enormous thing because, and one, this is a little end point here, the power of the world and its depth with which it's penetrated the hearts and minds of our society is extremely difficult to break of that bond. But only with our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. May God help us and may He guide us and give us context in which our children can grow and become disciples of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And that they're